As I meditate on the mystery and beauty of Christmas, I am provoked to ask several questions. To what extent are we prepared to go out of love of Christ, a love for God? What are we willing to give? What are we prepared to do? Just like God used Joseph and Mary as instruments for the coming of the Christ, supposing God wanted you to do something special in our time to save history, to what extent would you be prepared to go with Him? For every moment, God is calling us to do something new, something different. For Joseph and Mary were just simple people, like most of us are. But they sacrificed a whole lot to help Christ to be born. I will explain. The Blessed Mother had been presented in the temple at the age of 3, according to the instructions of the priest. Anne and Joachim knew that she was special. She lived and grew up in the temple like a nun, so she had dedicated herself totally to God anyway. But about the age of 13, the priest summoned her and said it was time for her to be married. She was surprised, but she was not given to disobedience, so she obeyed. And men from the house of Judah, the house of David, were summoned to the temple. One of them was Joseph. According to an ancient prophecy from Isaiah, a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse. That was the ancient prophecy. The man that was to be the husband of the Blessed Mother, when he touched the staff of Moses, which had been preserved for ages, then a shoot would sprout, even though that staff had been long dead. That would be the sign. So when the staff was handed to Joseph, it sprouted, fulfilling the prophecy. That is how Joseph was chosen. So the betrothal took place in the temple. Anne and Joachim took Mary home after that to prepare for the wedding day. And Joseph went back to get himself ready. Joseph had lived his life without a wife. He had personally taken a vow of chastity already. So they did not fully understand what they were about to get into. In those days, people obeyed the priests. In our time, the world is too old and cynical. People challenge every known institution, even the church. It is difficult for people to give the obedience of faith, even to reveal truth. In those days, it wasn't difficult. God was the center of everything. In our time, man is the center, not God. And that is why we have all the troubles that we have. But back to Mary and Joseph. It was going to be a special marriage because of the proximity of Christ. This was about God. It was not about them. They did not want to get married. They were instructed that it was necessary. God had to be born into a family. So when Mary was home preparing for the wedding day, the angel came to her then. But according to this story, betrothal, even in Israel at the time, was legal, was just like as good as a marriage. That's why Joseph thinks about divorcing her when he found out she was pregnant. And the angel comes to Joseph in a dream and tells him that what is happening to Mary is by the power of the Holy Spirit, and gives him instruction on what kind of marriage they were supposed to have and what this is all about. And that is when Joseph said yes, and he was given special grace. It is not recorded in the story, but I can explain that to you, so he could do what he was called to do. And he could have the reverence for the Blessed Mother that was expected. At this stage, Joseph was about the age of 40. Mary was about 13. You can imagine why when they went to Bethlehem, when people looked at them, looked at this strange family, they kicked them out. There was no room. It wasn't uncommon in the time of Mary and Joseph for married people to take vows of chastity, even in marriage, to abstain from the conjugal act for purposes of prayer or purification. You shouldn't, in our own time, we live in a very erotic age. Everything is about sex and this and that. In those days, it wasn't that way. God was first. Pleasure and passion was second. So both Mary and Joseph gave everything of themselves in the service of the Christ. You need to understand their marriage was centered on Christ, not on passion. The church reveres Mary as ever virgin. Virgin before she conceived the Christ, virgin when she conceived him, virgin when she gave birth to him, and virgin till the day she was taken into heaven. This is the faith of the church. That is why we call her Blessed Virgin Mary. There was no room for another child. There was no room for attention to anything else, for Christ was so close. So Joseph gave up his plan for his own life in order to do the will of God. And Mary gave up everything for Christ. How many of us, even if the word of the Lord came to us to do something selfless like that, how many would easily say yes? We live in the age of entitlement. Me, myself, and I want this and that and the other. We forget that God is the author of everything we have, everything we survey. He should come first. We think it, we say it, but it is difficult to live it. What Joseph and Mary did was totally ridiculous. But in the sight of God, that is everything. It is often because we are not prepared to do the ridiculous, God is not prepared to do the miraculous. We're afraid to look ridiculous in the sight of people. So we act out like everything is okay and we do things according to how people see us. We forget that we need to please God first before we please men. I can explain to you the life of the Blessed Mother because in the first century, according to the tradition of the church, in those days when the church would ordain married men, it was understood that after you ordained as a priest, you lived with your wife, excluding any conjugal act, on a special vow. That is what the records show us. The celibacy was implied, even for the married, once you became a priest. So we can deduce that the church learned this from the life of Joseph and Mary. But even priests were expected to live the same way. This was the culture of the church. So Joseph accepted to marry Mary under those terms, doing God's will. That is why at the beginning of this Mass, I asked the question, to what extent are you prepared to go for God and for His reign? What are you prepared to sacrifice? What are you prepared to give up? Supposing God needs you in a specific way, shape, or form, would you be willing to say yes, like Mary and Joseph? I have a glimpse of what it feels like to have your life messed up by God. I know it happened to me. I had all my plans. I'm saying this because the young people in this church, some of you trying to figure out the future of your lives and what you're supposed to do with yourself, sometimes it is necessary for you to kneel down and pray and ask God for direction. What is your plan for me? Not just what is your dad's plan or your mama. Because what happened to me did not fall into any known category in my family. I was very strange, but I was convinced that God was calling me. Because I had many encounters with Him. About the age of 14, it started. You know, I had decided to be an engineer and do my own thing because I was smart in the sciences. Now I'm totally hopeless in the sciences. I couldn't recognize an equation anymore today. And so you would discuss at table, and everyone said, you will be the doctor, you will be the engineer, you will be this. I work for ExxonMobil. There were seven of us. And so we had dreams like that. And when I was in boarding school, the Lord began to draw close to me. In the whisper of the night, or in the evening, will you serve me? I knew that voice. I still know it up until now. I wasn't quite sure what was happening. Until one day, we were praying the rosary in school, and I realized that everybody had left me kneeling in the chapel by myself. I woke up 30 minutes after the rosary was supposed to be over. I had been fighting in my heart or in my head, my eyes were closed, with this voice that wanted me to say yes. Mary and Joseph said yes willingly. I did not say yes willingly. I thought God was taking everything away from me. So I understand what it means to sacrifice your life for a cause which you do not understand. But over a period of 2 years, the Lord never stopped coming to me like the hound of heaven. I kept running away from him. I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind. I kept running from him. And all things betrayest thee who betrayest me. I heard the words of that poem from Francis Thompson explains what happened to me for 2 years before I said yes. I am not very proud of that, you know, but I was a child. It is a very frightening thing for you to have God draw close to you, you know. God has to be in heaven. We're on earth. We don't like him to come too close. Even as a child, it was terrifying. You know, how was I going to be a priest? How was I going to mess around the altar? I knew priests. I knew what they did. It was exalted. It was never within the framework of my mind at all. But slowly the Lord coaxed me into saying yes. I said yes reluctantly, but at every stage of the way I had illumination. I knew what to do. And all through my life in seminary, all through my life up to this point, I've always been given grace at specific moments to do certain things. It didn't just start today. I have a long history. That is why I asked the question, to what extent are you willing to go? You know, I am not just asking you the question. When I preach, I am preaching also to myself. I am asking myself, to what extent? Because I have a feeling I have more to do. I am willing to go all the way. I'm a dead man anyway. What difference does it make? But what are you willing to sacrifice? I want you to seriously think about that. In the context of Christmas, let the example of Joseph and Mary, you know, let it inspire you to do something different, even if it is just taking a step. Maybe just reconciling with someone you've not spoken to. Maybe that fellow doesn't deserve for you to talk to them. Maybe a handshake, maybe a smile, maybe a call, maybe a card, maybe a gift. Maybe just approximate to Mary and Joseph, just to a small degree. The question is, are you willing to be ridiculous so that God, perhaps through you, can do the miraculous? Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall name him Emmanuel. God is with us. My friends, do you understand the meaning of the word Emmanuel? God is with us. God is always with us. He's never left us. He couldn't leave us. God is pure and perfect love. David understood the meaning of Emmanuel when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are by my side. With your crook and with your staff, you give me comfort." Such wonderful words. Do you ever say that to God, Emmanuel? God with us, God is with you, always. In the first reading, the prophet Isaiah was sent to King Ahaz of Judah. The threat of an invasion from Assyria was looming over his kingdom, and he was confused whether to align with the northern kingdom, Israel, or whether to accept to be a vassal to the Assyrians and pay taxes. He was confused. So prophet Isaiah was sent to him. Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. He was confused, did not know what to do. So the prophet comes, ask for a sign. Are you at such a point in your life? Do you need a sign? Then ask for it. The king said, I will not ask for a sign. Listen, O house of David, the Lord will give you a sign. Therefore, the Lord himself says this, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. Ahaz would have thought that this virgin would be one of his wives. But none of them were virgins at the time. So he did not grab that the prophecy was for an appointed time. It was a prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. And Matthew will cite that in the gospel. Do you need to ask for a sign? Christmas is a few days away. The greatest sign of all times is God appearing in history in the form of a baby. But then that mystery can break down into little bits and pieces in your life by giving you a sign today. God is prepared to give you a sign. Just ask for it. If you're a young person, not knowing what to decide for your future, ask for a sign. God created you for himself. He has a purpose to your life. Ask him for a sign. And he will give you one. When he does, respond with the obedience of faith and do what you're required to do. So, my friends, I repeat the first question that I propose to you. To what extent are you willing to go for Christ? Christ came down all the way from heaven for you. His mother gave up her life just to serve him. All that for you. Joseph did the same. What are you prepared to do? Mary could not have imagined how everything was going to turn out, but she said yes. She conceived Christ. She was still a virgin. She gave birth to him, and she was still a virgin. The conception of Jesus was miraculous, and the birth of Jesus was also miraculous. That is why Mary is revered as ever virgin all through her life. If you knew the number of angels that were around the Blessed Mother every single time, you would understand that no man could approach her by way of passion. You couldn't. Everything in you would be dead. You need to know the dignity of that woman who gave up her life for her son and for you. She was prepared to go all the way, and Joseph was the same. How about you? Think about it. Merry Christmas.